Hi, this is Dave Krueger, and welcome. My apologies. You have been given a different number than I have for the bridge line access. So my apologies, and we will catch up. And what we don't cover in our seminar this evening, I will dictate and send to you. So let's start at the beginning. Welcome. I'm excited to be with you, and I'm really sorry about the glitch. Because I got a note about the participants very late, I didn't have a chance to get out an email, and that might have obviated some of the glitch here. But I'd like to get an idea from you what you would most like to learn in this seminar series. What's the one question, as you sat down with me, that you would like me to answer during this series? And secondly, if you were to walk away from this seminar series saying this is one of the best series you'd ever attended, what would you walk away with? So I'm interested in your responses. Ed, you've done this before. What's your thought?
I was scanning the handout trying to come up with. I'll tell you, I'm at that place where I've just taken the net. I'm about waist deep now. I bought all I got my website ready. I've got the Facebook page. I've done all the narrative that we covered in that last class. And so I kind of stand here kind of figuring out how do you actually, I kind of got the branding part, but it's the piece about, I guess really, how do you value yourself, realistically, so that you can go in with strength, sell what you're taking into the equation.
Okay.
That's probably it.
Okay. That's very helpful. Thank you. And I appreciate that. And we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be looking at the business of coaching in the final seminar. We're going to spend one seminar each on these four areas: brand, value, fees, and best practices. So we're going to cover the waterfront with that. And I have some additional stuff I'm going to send you. You probably have seen on the page you were directed to when you signed up the outline. It's a combination of workbook and outline. I know it's a little bit long at 29 pages, but each of the exercises and work tools for the seminars are ones ideally if you would do that before the seminar. So like the ones for seminar 2 on value, if you would do those before we meet next time. And I know you're probably catching up and most of you registered today. So as long as you have that, my intent was for you to have the outline so you don't have to take a bunch of notes. So you can just kind of really listen and see what makes sense and apply this and in your own way to your own work, to your own coaching firm. So thanks very much for that, Ed. Other thoughts about what you'd most like to ask and what you hope to really walk away with? Other thoughts?
My name is Myra, and I'm listening in from Maryland.
Welcome. Okay.
Thank you. And I guess I'm looking at I would like to have questions answered about how do you build the foundation of a coaching business such that it will sustain itself over time.
Okay. Okay. Great. We'll definitely address that. Did you, Myra? Did you train at CTA?
No, sir.
Okay. And did you train at a firm where they at a coaching institute that addressed marketing and business at all?
Yes, I did, but it seemed like it was a very cursory kind of thing, and I would like something a little deeper.
Okay. All right, here's the précis for that. Here's the adumbration of everything we're going to talk about in that regard. Coaching is a relationship. Referrals are based on relationships. The ICF did a survey not too long ago to look at all the people who dropped their memberships. And they did an extensive survey to see why people dropped their memberships. And what they found was that most dropped their memberships because their coaching practices failed. So they did another survey to look at why was that, cast another broad net, and far and away the number one reason that they had their practices fail was because they didn't develop a niche. Now, I've never heard a coaching student or client who has had too narrow and too specific a niche. In fact, the people who have the most narrow and specific niches are the ones who fill their practice first. Usually we think about a niche in terms of who are the people that we most want to work with and spend our professional day with, who are ideal clients, what kind of experience and expertise and passion do we have to direct to that area. And remembering a niche is only about marketing. It doesn't limit who you do. And another much more practical idea is the lowest hanging fruit. Look for the people and the referral sources of people you already know, people you already have relationships developed with. When I made my transition from practicing therapy and analysis for 25 years, the first people I sent a notice to were the people who had already been referring to me, other professionals, other people, executives, and let them know what I was doing and what coaching was about and what I'd be doing with the clients that they referred to me. And they began referring me coaching clients and referring me themselves to expand their business and that sort of thing. So that was the lowest hanging fruit. Those are the people with whom you already have relationships. And think about those. Do a brainstorming session with yourself to list all of those. You know, it's been said that we each know really well, maybe about 250 people. 250 people are going to come to our 50th birthday, to our funeral, to a wedding. Think about brainstorming with yourself to get a list of all those people in every aspect of your life and send them announcements, a dozen or so at a time so you can follow up with the telephone. So build the core, the foundation of your practice with people who already know you and already you have working and professional and personal experiences. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, we're going to be talking about a lot more than that, but that's kind of a beginning at least. Any other ideas about what you'd most like to get out of our time together?
It's Kathy from Ontario.
Welcome. Hey.
Hi. I guess I'm kind of sitting on the fence. I am not a coach per se. I've been a counselor, but I also have a background of nursing and spiritual and all of this gamut of this whole portfolio. But sitting on the fence right now, not knowing how to market to go to the next level. And we're kind of sitting at October as a key time of when there's a program that I've worked on looking to bring to this area, which is really called is parish nursing, and in that process, so there's definitely coaching I do, there's counseling I do, but I have a whole gamut of things, but I have been off on disability, so wanting to step back into the workforce, do what my passions are, and at this point in my life, move forward, but not sure, I'm not really, I know that's where I'm being led, but at the end of the day, it's like, how do I make that big, giant step to the next place? And bring on board, and the seeds have been planted, but just not quite growing as high as I'd like to see them yet.
Okay, let me suggest another approach while you're sitting on that fence. First of all, jump off the fence so that you're ready to take
good.
A step.
Yes.
Then all you have to think about is the next right thing. What's the next step? The first step to give you traction. Because if you look at it. In such a global and a big way, it's going to seem overwhelming, and you're going to stay on the fence, and a bunch of people are going to join you on the fence because it's going to look too big. Now, here's a brief story that will, I think, put this into perspective and be a kind of model about all we have to do. Terry Fox ran the Marathon of Hope. It's a 3,337-mile cross-country run across Canada. Now, he had a challenge because he had an artificial leg, so he ran with a kind of a shuffle and a hop. He managed to average, though, 24 miles a day, and he finished the race in 143 days. he was interviewed immediately after the race, and he was asked, how in the world did you manage to keep going, being so exhausted and knowing you had several thousands of miles ahead? Well, he looked at the interviewer and he said, I just kept going to the next telephone pole.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is the next step, and one step at a time. Just go to the next telephone pole. That's what I'm doing after 10, almost 11 years of practice is going to the next telephone pole. Any questions?
Well, no, because I know what you're saying. It's the fact is it's been the freebies for so long, and how does it become that it actually becomes the letting go of the disability pension to moving to independence again? And that's really where I want to go. And the doors are all over the place where they're ready to open, but it's just when you've been through something traumatic, you're afraid to step to that next, you know, over that threshold. And if I could just, you know, just do that and keep moving, as you say, then I know there's a wide open scope of what's here.
We'll talk a little bit about neural conditioning and how to rewire your brain for that.
That would be
because
good.
Because it is easy to, even though it's frustrating and limiting to stay on the fence, it's pretty easy there because you don't have to take any chances, and you don't have to mess up, and you don't have to be afraid, although you're frustrated, and it kind of gets a little boring there. So we're going to talk about that. So thanks. Other things, just briefly, that you're interested in. Anyone?
You've said a mouthful for me. I'm ready to roll.
All right, we're going to roll then. I'm going to put us on lecture mode. Thank you for managing the background noise. With the number of people, I appreciate it. Remember, star 6, if you have background noise, if you don't have a headset, and to come back off mute, another star 6. But I'm going to put us on lecture mode and move through our initial seminar, and then I want to save some time at the end. I hope we have a little bit of time left. And if we don't, jot down any questions you have and send them to me by email. And I'm going to send you another little document to go along with the download of the outline, the workbook that you have, because you don't have enough to read there already. 29 pages, I mean, my gosh. I'll send you something else that I think will be meaningful. It's just about a page. So hang on just a minute. Okay, welcome to the nuts and bolts of a branded coaching business. And as I mentioned, we're going to spend one seminar each on these four areas: brand, value, fees, and best practice. So let's talk first about brand, the essence of your business story. Story is the fundamental form we use to organize and communicate our life experience through history. It's the way we understand, we learn, and we remember. James Watson, the guy who discovered DNA with Crick, said, you know, I can remember something when I fit it into a story. A story is a system for holding together facts. A story makes things make sense. In fact, Muriel Lukeyser said, the world is made up of stories, not atoms. So think about your business as a story. We personify the economy or the stock market as if each were a story of its own. We make a story out of events in order to infer relationship and assign causality. Our brains seek patterns in our observations. Our minds seek and infer a causal relationship. And we want to create closure. Then, once we've established a belief, we cherry-pick information to support that belief and probably become blind to data to refute it. That's called confirmation bias. We'll come back to that. So, you are your story in life and in business. So, consider this question. What's your business story? Claire Booth Luce, one of the first women to serve in the U.S. Congress, conferred with President Kennedy in 1962. She was concerned that Kennedy's attention was divided among a lot of different priorities and that he would be less than effective with his information, with his attention that was so scattered. She worried that Kennedy was trying to do too many things. She told him in her conclusion, a great man is one sentence. Abraham Lincoln's sentence was that he preserved the Union and freed the slaves. Franklin Roosevelt's sentence was that he lifted us out of the Great Depression and helped us win a world war. So consider this. Now, perhaps your sentence is, I raised two children who became happy and productive adults. That's one of my sentences. Or I helped many people grow to become more aware of who they really are. Think about what your sentence is. The approach to developing your brand can start as you reflect on your purpose. And begin with this question. What's your sentence? Here's a quote from Daniel Pink, author of the best-selling books A Whole New Mind and more recently Drive. We've read each other's recent books and collaborated in a number of ways. This is a quote from him. The last few decades have belonged to a certain kind of person with a certain kind of mind. Computer programmers who could crank code, lawyers who could craft contracts, MBAs who could crunch numbers. But the keys to the kingdom have changed hands. The future belongs to a very different kind of person with a very different kind of mind. Creators and empathizers, pattern recognitions, meaning makers. These people, artists, inventors, designers, storytellers, caregivers, consolers, big picture thinkers, will now reap society's richest rewards and share its greatest joys. Stories are about emotion, and emotion moves mountains. Tom Peters, a best-selling author in Search of Excellence, says that he never gives presentations, but he tells stories, and he gets paid very well for it. Each encounter with a client, each coaching session, is a short story with a beginning, a narrative, an ending, and a memory that lingers on. The entire coaching engagement, all the sessions collectively with an individual, become a story arc of development. Your coaching business is a story. Your brand is the essence of that story. Storytelling excellence is not something you just pick up along the way. It's an art, a discipline to be mastered. A story is a useful way to think of your business. What's the story of your business? Are the benefits clear? What's the story of your teleseminar, your training course? Is your story animated and engaging, effective, exciting, promising? Whoever has the best story wins. I want to talk a little bit about voice in communicating your story. Nobel laureate Daniel Kahneman, he's a psychologist at Princeton who won the Nobel Prize in Economics, finds that our memories are really selective. I recently heard him present these findings. Specifically, no matter how extended an event, whether it's a party, a commercial transaction, a presentation, any encounter, we form our views and make our evaluations based on dramatically skewing two things, the most emotionally intense moments and the final moments. And the final moments are particularly important because after an extended presentation or a dinner party, what we may remember will be the few words or the brief exchange at the end. He gave the example of attending an incredible symphony, and after a 45-minute concerto, there was one violin in this massive orchestra that gave a little bit of a screech. This instrument screech at the end of the concert was what people were then talking about at intermission, and they were saying how that 1 or 2 second screech ruined the experience. And when you think about it, 1 or 2 seconds ruined a 45-minute exquisite experience. Plan your story all the way to the end. Make your story memorable, compelling, emotionally engaging. Consider your last impression. Beginnings matter, endings matter. Memories are best created with balanced learning, left brain plus right brain, emotional plus reason and logic. Now, let's look at brand as identity and brand identity. A brand is the identity, the personality of a product or a business. Brand began as a way to tell one rancher's cattle from another by a hot iron stamp. So, since brands began in Texas and I raised cattle as a boy in Texas, with my own small herd by high school, I consider myself perfectly qualified to present this material to you. The signatures on paintings of famous artists can be viewed as an early branding tool. A brand is a valuable element of the identity of a business as well as its marketing. The brand is an emblem of the impression of a product or company. It's a metaphor for expectations. I want you to think about a brand not as something you're putting out there for public consumption. You look at my website, EnterPath, you won't see any brand statement. You'll get a sense of that. You'll walk away with that because brand is an internal organizer for you. Think about the associations you have to brands. What's the first word or phrase you think of for these brands? Nike, FedEx, Oprah, probably performance, FedEx on time, dependable service, Oprah, inspiration or information to live a better life. As you go through your day tomorrow, think about the brands that really speak to you, the ones that cause you to buy, maybe later wonder why or later have to tell yourself why. Think about the different styles of brand names, acronyms like UPS or IBM, descriptive, Whole Foods or Airbus, alliterative and rhyme, Dunkin' Donuts, Reese's Pieces, neologisms, Kodak or Compaq. Compaq in 1983 spent $2 million for that word from a marketing company. I happen to be buddies with one of the Compaq founders. Foreign words, Volvo or Samsung. Founders' names like Hewlett-Packard or Disney. Geography, Fujifilm. Branding begins with your brainstorming, your thoughts, and especially your beliefs to find the essence of what you want to convey by your products and services, what represents and defines your values and intentions, and in time, your reputation. Keep in mind the basic emotions and the surface expressions as you tailor your brand. You are your brand. Your mindset will define your brand. What's your promise? Your answer is your brand. Your brand is an organizer for everything you do, for every connection with potential clients and readers, including website, blog, articles. Your brand triggers meaning and connection that carries its own value. Brand awareness is the link in the consumer's brain between the brand name and logo to certain associations about the product or service. Here's a question. What's the opposite of a brand? The answer is generic. Our clients and potential clients, consciously and unconsciously, take notes on how we brand and value ourselves, how we charge what we're worth, how we handle the business of coaching. How we handle this will determine if we have clients and how successful we and they will be. There are three work tools in the addendum for this seminar to guide you in branding your business: brand articulation, brand creation, and final brand statement. I'd suggest you schedule an appointment with yourself for working through these three exercises. Now, let's talk a little bit about lessons from great branding. Successful brand names are easy to remember. They transcend trends. They have positive connotations. A brand identity is fundamental to consumer recognition and symbolizes being distinct from competitors. A brand identity is what you want to communicate to your potential clients. Here's how Howard Schultz, the founder and CEO of Starbucks, put it. A great brand raises the bar. It adds a greater sense of purpose to the experience, whether it's the challenge to do your best in sports and fitness or the affirmation that the cup of coffee you're drinking really matters. Kraft was purchased for 6 times the company's asset value because it was felt that what they really purchased was its brand name. So, what are the lessons we can learn from companies that have built great branding? The cross trainer you wear with the distinctive swoosh on the side speaks of brand. The coffee travel mug you're carrying says you're a Starbucks woman. The workout t-shirt with the distinctive C on the sleeve and blue jeans says you're a champion. The prominent Levi's rivets speak to you and about you. Effective branding influences your subconscious mind, makes you willing to buy, and becomes a walking advertisement for those companies. We can take lessons from the big brands to learn what it takes to stand out and prosper. Remember, you're the CEO of your own company, even if you're right now a company of one. So understand the importance of branding, even if you're a company of one. The good news is that you each have a chance to stand out, to learn, to improve, to build your skills, to be a brand worthy of remark. Now, the internet makes the case for branding more directly than any consumer product ever could. Anyone can have a website and send emails. Because anyone can, everyone does. So how do you know which sites are worth visiting, which sites to bookmark, which ones to go back to more than once, which blogs to follow, which emails to open? The answer, relationship and branding. The name of the email sender is every bit as important as a brand, because it is a brand. The website and the email are each a promise of the value you'll receive for the time you'll spend reading the message. Now, here's a really simple and a really goofy example. I hate to shop. It takes an act of Congress to get me to shop, and a mall is really unthinkable in a way. But there's one thing that will get me to a mall twice a year, regardless. It's a particular brand, specifically a brand that I can't get online in the same way, and that I need to see it, feel it, twice a year. Once in the spring and once in the fall, I'll make my trek to a mall to buy a Tommy Hilfiger shirt, a short sleeve for the summer and a long sleeve for the winter. Twice a year, Tommy's newest line, whether I need it or not. For 2.5 decades now, his brand sings to me, feels right, has exquisite fabric, and just fits really good. Everything else I can order or have tailor-made. But I sacrifice for Tommy. That's the power of a brand. A brand is a promise of value that you'll receive. Think about it. Don't you immediately know the authors whose next book you're going to buy, regardless of the title? In this case, the brand is the author's name and body of work. I know, without a doubt, I'm going to be one of the first people that orders Pat Conroy's new book, whatever it's going to be. I don't care what it's about. Think about your following. How will you develop your following? Publishers and literary agents refer to it as a platform. Platform simply means the people who know your work and who will purchase whatever you do. It's a relationship, a promise, a loyalty that results both ways. If Tommy had disappointed me once, I'd be headed for the proverbial hills and he'd never see me again. Well, not that he'd miss me, plus it would be kind of a challenge because Texas doesn't have a whole lot of hills. But it's in the simplest language possible. A brand distinguishes you from other products, services, and concepts. You communicate and market that difference. So, build a brand community. There are four characteristics that allow you to creatively and actively build a community around your brand. One, creating a strong brand identity. Your brand needs to have a strong story that clients can identify with and relate to. The story not only provides authenticity to your brand, but also allows clients to express their sense of self through participation in your brand. Now, here's something from, and I do some collaboration with neuromarketing and some neuromarketing and neuroscience labs. This is what we know now. What we end up buying is what we identify with. There is a specific part of the brain that has to do with organizing a sense of self, and we can see a whole spectrum of things, but the one that our eyes and our attention lights on that activates this part of the brain that has to do with sense of self, that which we identify with is exactly what we will purchase. And that determines more than any other single thing what we purchase. Two, create collaboration among clients. A brand community or following may need to connect with each other or connect to the context of the brand. This collaboration or connection may include sharing information, validation, to express one's personality, to identify with a special segment. Think about that's what CTA is doing now and bringing us together. The promise is that there will be meaningful continuing education, something that you'll find useful and find valuable. And create identifiable brand elements. Right now, you're participating probably because of the umbrella of the brand of CTA. And four, create a unique culture. So a community allows you to co-create value with clients or colleagues on a continuous basis. If you're an Apple fan, an iMac user, there's a huge online community to share information. The different groups I do a mastermind group for the people who have completed training with me as New Life Story Wellness Coaches and New Money Story Mentors. There's an online forum and community where there's an ongoing kind of collaboration back and forth. So a winning brand can include many of these characteristics: a personification of your services or products, as well as a bridge to a relationship, promise, and loyalty. Your brand needs to be distinct, and you have to emphasize that distinctness. What do you do uniquely well better than almost anyone else? And find words for it. Find a brief way to say that. A brand should evoke emotions and create sensory experiences. The first way what we purchase is determined at our midbrain and determined emotionally way before we're even consciously aware of it. There's some fantastic research. We'll come back to this. It triggers positive associations. A brand should exhibit admirable human qualities. It needs to stand for something. And it should create a sense of community with emotional connections and loyalties. So a brand's identity, then, needs to combine visual, auditory, and other sensory components. And let's talk briefly now about mind, brand, and brain. We live in a really complicated environment of multiple stimuli, the most complex of any period in time. To deal with this barrage of input effectively, we need shortcuts. The brain actually searches for shortcuts called heuristics, ways that we automatically decide. A brand is one of the best known shortcuts that we can possibly have. A brand can slash through the noise of information and choices available to create an instant experience by linking to meaning already wired in your midbrain. Every brand has a psychological aspect. The symbolic construct created in your mind based on all information and experiences associated. We input stimuli immediately into our midbrain. Anytime we see or perceive something, whatever it is, it goes immediately to our midbrain. And it goes specifically to the amygdala. And the amygdala sorts incoming information for emotional significance and moves it to the hippocampus, where meaning is attached. The hippocampus is actually the seat of the unconscious, where our association occurs, to connect meaning to input. So then this information is kicked up to the forebrain, where we become consciously aware of what we're thinking and feeling and make it make sense. So notice how attaching logic is the last step. Neuroeconomic studies show that we make purchase decisions at the midbrain level due to the psychological impact and associations we have to a brand. These midbrain preferences and decisions occur seconds before the choice and action even registers in our conscious brain, the prefrontal cortex. So once your unconscious mind makes an emotional commitment to a yes or no, it sends the conscious mind on the mission to gather all the logical reason to support that decision. This rationalization is called confirmation bias. Marketing experts tell us there are five great emotional motivators in marketing: fear, greed, exclusivity, guilt, and the need for approval. Any brand that you can look at anywhere, magazine, TV, has at least one and probably more of these basic motivators. Great branding is specifically designed to trigger associations and responses at this fundamental level of association to meaning in the hippocampus. This is why you have to be so clear in order to communicate clearly and consistently. And again, I want to just emphasize this. Neuroscience labs have shown us that if a product attracts us, it's because we identify with it. The product fits the picture we have or want to have of ourselves. And it's shown by increased brain activity, and, you know, by according to who you are rather than who you want to be, is one way of thinking about it. The world's leading neurological testing company, NeuroFocus, conducted tests to reveal the hidden needs, beliefs, and feelings that people have regarding brands. By analyzing brain reactions, they measured the neurological effectiveness of a brand as expressed through a number of different dimensions. Form, feeling, functions, values, benefits, and metaphors. Now, here are the three key things that NeuroFocus found that mattered the most. First and foremost, feelings. Things like stability, solidity, partnership, empathy, and understanding. I'm going over these so you can think about what you're conveying to someone about your coaching services, your products. Second to feelings was values. Things like integrity, acceptance, accountability, uncompromising security. And third, out of this long, long list was benefits, like wisdom, experience, community, shared strength. The most valuable positioning statements resonate with a client or customer's experience, understanding, and compassion. So, what we want to think about doing then is to develop looking at what someone needs and where they are. And first, let's think about features versus benefit. A feature is what something is. It's a thing. A benefit is what something does, a solution or a problem or a fulfillment of a desire. Here's an example. An elderly lady visited a hardware store just as winter was approaching in the Northeast. She anticipated a freezing winter and inquired about purchasing a heater. The salesperson spoke of the wonderful features, including composition, BTUs, the research that went into it, and some of its exceptional features. After she patiently waited for him to end his spiel, she said, "But will it keep an old lady warm at night?" That's the difference between features and benefits. I'm an executive mentor coach, is a feature. I help executives develop success strategies to write the next chapter of their business story. Is a benefit. Here's a benefit statement from my friend Bob Berg, author of Endless Referrals and the bestseller The Go-Giver. I show people how to cultivate a network of endless referrals. His benefit statement also inspired the title of a best-selling book. The ultimate test of a benefit statement is twofold. Somebody says, "Tell me more," and they raise their eyebrows at the same time. So, recognize the impact of your brand. For a moment, put one foot in your potential client's shoe. They hear your name. They hear your coaching business name. They may see your logo. They come into contact with something or something that represents your business, maybe a website. We're told that in 3 seconds, you capture someone's attention and make an impression. Proper branding ensures that this impression is the one you want to make. So go to your website. If you have one, with a beginner's mind and look at it for 6 seconds. Totally fresh, totally objectively, if possible. That's how long somebody stays until they decide whether they're going to hang around and look a little bit more or whether they're going to go. 6 seconds. As the visionary of your brand, you define what the initial impression is. Your brand experience is what your clients will see, believe, and connect with your business as they experience it. When you brand your business successfully, you and your clients will know it, trust it, and return to it repeatedly. Think of brand from the beginning. Marketing works from the outside in, a promise you make to your clients. Branding works from the inside out, is the essence of the definition of every aspect of your services and product. Your integrity is the foundation. Your values are the blueprint. The most influential single thing in marketing, emotion. Remember the NeuroFocus findings. In an article in Forbes magazine called Psychoanalyze This, Laurie Burkett indicates that both media and consumers are most receptive to ads that mirror their emotions. Most buying decisions or emotional decisions. So what can we learn from consumer behaviors and neuroscience is that when we understand people and their emotions, we have a significant advantage as well as understanding. So the benefits of good branding is a powerful communication that increases the value of your business. It enhances the loyalty of your clients. In the marketplace, branding can be an emblem of clear and precise communication. And above all else, branding creates connection and stirs emotion. It establishes an experience. Your brand is not a logo. It's not a tagline or a product. All of these can be part of your brand, but a brand is not as much seen as it is experienced. It's defined by you and remembered both in the mind and the heart of your client. So create for yourself an internal brand statement. A brand statement defines three things: why your business exists, what makes it different, what philosophy you follow. This is your internal definition of what your brand is. One of the first things when I began doing a blog, nudged by my publisher, McGraw-Hill, before my last book came out, that I knew the blog needed to be branded. I knew that I wanted to brand it along the lines of what I had already been thinking about, although is not stated anywhere on my website or what I talk about, but the integration of psychology and neuroscience with strategic coaching. So I did that as part of my blog, as a central basis, to look at money psychology and neuroeconomics applied to a broad range of things. So anytime you begin doing something or adding something, like a blog, think of it in terms of how do you want to brand it? What's the internal organizer you're going to use? So that all of you and all of your business is going in the same direction. And any component of that that someone looks at, they're going to see another aspect. So it's analogous to having a map. With a map, you know where you want to go, and you can measure progress from where you are now. And importantly, a map helps you not only know the best route, but it can help you see what's detour and what's distraction. So a brand statement, it's not the same as a mission statement. A mission statement is an external statement for organizing those within a company and influencing those outside it. But here are a couple of examples of brand statements. Larry Page and Sergey Brin's vision. Google provides access to the world's information in one click. John Chambers. Cisco changes the way we live, work, play, and learn. And the Wolf. Respect the elders, teach the young, cooperate with the pack. So here's a very brief summary. Three essential summary tips for brand success. One, be clear and consistent. Clarity attracts, consistency bonds. Number two, everything matters. Every aspect of your communication, your web narrative, every email, everything you say and do affects the perception of your professionalism. Appearance is reality too, whether web or personal or email. Spell check. Do everything professional. Three, over deliver value. By doing this, you'll build brand loyalty and community in a number of ways, including word of mouth. Personal branding is way more effective when it comes from somebody else. So here are some highlights and a very brief summary of what we've discussed. Developing a brand is not doing something after you've achieved some success in your business. Building your business as a brand more quickly establishes your strong presence in the marketplace to enable significant success. Think of your service or product as a brand. Put together a team, even if small and virtual in the beginning, to provide you a process and a system to build your brand from the bottom up. Brand is the image and reputation based on what people experience. The best way someone will understand you, your business, what you do, and the benefits you bring is if you clearly understand it first. And I know some of you have heard this ad nauseum from me, the four basic principles of good speaking, are the same four basic principles of good writing: clarity, brevity, simplicity, and humanity. Then, articulate what you do and the benefits you bring in a clear, simple, specific, consistent story. Your brand is your business identity. And finally, consider protecting the rights to your brand name by perhaps registering a trademark. So, in one sentence of summary, remember this from all we've discussed. Your brand begins a conversation that lives on in the minds of your clients. Okay, we're in discussion mode. We have a very brief time for discussion, for questions and comments, and I'm interested in what your thoughts are and what kind of questions or clarifications you have. Again, there's one document I'm going to send you that has a summary from different perspective that we didn't go into and that's not in your outline, so you can expect that from me. There are a couple of questions that I have from different people I'm going to address, and I'm going to send a link to you, a couple of questions about a seminar series that's related to this but in a totally different direction. So I'm going to send that out either probably in the morning to you, so be looking for that. Questions or thoughts right now?
While your presentation is very clear, I guess I'm hoping that what's going to bring depth to it will come from the exercise.
I think that's an application that you can do to really put it into play, into meaning for you, because what I'm saying will best be applied to you and your specific grounding in your work, in your coaching, and in the vision you have for your company when you do these exercises. So that's exactly why I have those, and why you have so much that you downloaded, is not just to have the outline, but to have the exercises and the work tools that really can apply this for you, because it needs to be as highly specific as you and your brand are. And this is where, you know, I leave off and you begin, is really putting it into, you know, this is not something I or anyone else can ghostwrite for you. This has to be your story to really create your brand. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, okay, we do the exercises. How will we get feedback from you about what we're doing?
If there are questions, if there are things you'd like to talk about or discuss with me and the group, bring it to our discussion. If there's an email you want to send me, fire it off.
Okay.
Thanks. Other questions or other thoughts? We've got just a minute or so.
Well, I think from my perspective...
This is who?
This is Kathy.
Well, go ahead, please.
is that I think that it was validation, one, that I really didn't know if I was tapping in tonight or not, and I was last minute, like 7 o'clock, when I finally, you know, pushed the button and said send. And from that, storytelling, when you started right off with storytelling, which actually I've been, you know, many, many people have told me that, you know, that's a gift I have that I really didn't even know I had, and how it's grown, and it's so I'm in the right place. I need to learn more, but, you know, I think it's really close of jumping off that fence. And
right.
My guess is that I just need validation that I'm, you know, it's, you know, that little push. And so thank you.
Okay, great. And think of your business as a story. It's the way we remember, the way we understand, the way we make sense of things. It's balanced learning because it involves both right and left brain. One of my initial mentors as I moved into coaching was a storytelling mentor, and he told a story of being approached by someone in an airport in Chicago, in O'Hare, as he was passing through. Someone came up to him and said, "I just want to tell you, Doug, how much I enjoyed your presentation. It was 4 years ago, but I always remember what you talked about." And he said, "Would you remind me what I talked about?" And she said, "Well, I don't really remember what the subject of your talk was, but I'll always remember that story you told me."
exactly. And I mean, I did a presentation. I was asked to go do something, and I didn't think I could do things in front of a group. And the teacher called me in afterwards, said, I really need to talk to you. And she said, and I'm shaking, thinking, oh, my God, what did I do wrong? And basically she said, no, it's not what you did wrong. It said you got fours across the board. Everybody gave you excellent in storytelling. And my husband told me, you know, just get on with the story and tell it. But these people that are looking for, it was in nursing, and it was a component where, you know, I just respected where they were at, but added the extra to it. And it was like, I really do have that gift, and I had to question myself at that point. But
okay, what I'm taking away from this, Kathy, is you really do have a history of getting off the fence, and when you get off the fence and go for it, you get fours across the board. That's a good lesson to remember, because that's what we think about doing in coaching is if something works, do more of it. If it doesn't work, do something else. Okay. Thank you all very much, and I look forward to picking up with you right here next time. Bye now.
Bye, everybody.
See you guys.
Bye.